Welcome again to a on-location version of In the Garden. I'm your host, Kelly Casey, and today I am grateful, very grateful, to have as a return guest one of my very favorite guests and my favorite mother, Jan Meyer. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Kelly. I'm so glad to be with you again.
I'm so glad you decided to make the trip up to me. Today, we are actually at my garden, and it's my refuge, and we've talked many times about Jan's gazebo garden down in Fairmont, and you've had so many things that you have taken under your wing, and today we're going to talk about probably a unique topic to our show, because I don't think we've really addressed it very much. And I know that you had some background in it, so I wanted to make sure we highlighted that before our end of our season. So what we're going to talk about today is not just the residential garden, but gardens that are put in specifically for either places of business or places of worship. And you have experience in both of those. And let's start off with your biggest project. Tell us a little bit about how you decided to start a formalized, wonderful garden. And I will make sure, listeners, that I post pictures of the completed. Well, it's always a work in progress, isn't it, Jan? But tell us a little bit how this started on the side of the place where you worship.
This happened about 5 years ago. We had a pastor and his wife at the church, and Rosa, the pastor's wife, got leukemia, and her life was about a year and a half after she contracted it, and then she passed away from it. And the church that we go to, it was basically just a large building, which some people referred to as a warehouse. From the highway, it kind of looked like a warehouse, even though it was a church. And there was a couple of arborvitaes there, and I think there were three bushes also. And so when Rosa passed away, I went to the council and I said, I would like to put in a prayer garden in memory of Rosa. And they were all for it. There was one member, you know, there is always one member who said, well, we can't afford a gardener, and can we afford to do this? How much is it going to cost? And I said, as long as I am a member here in the church and able to, I will take care of this garden. Not only that, we will bring all the trees and bushes and plants. The church will be not liable for anything. And that's what we ended up doing.
So how could they say no to that kind of an offer?
Well, they didn't know what was coming. Anyway, Rosa was a dear friend, and I just wanted to do this in memory of Rosa. So we have a stone in the garden that says, in memory of Rosa, Rosa's prayer garden. So it's really nice. And now, just as a side note, her husband has also passed away. He passed away from COVID. So now we have to have a new plaque made up that is going to go on that stone. So it will be Pastor Dean and Rosa, their memory garden.
So it's a wonderful tribute that you felt led to do. And obviously your church family thought it would be a great thing to do, but did they? I always think of the Henny Penny story where she says, you know, we're going to go out and we're going to gather the grain and we're going to make the bread and everything, and everybody's going to have a part to play. But was that the case with this particular project?
Actually, it wasn't. No one stepped forward.
That's sometimes the case, but yeah. But you felt that it was important for you to do.
It was.
And so you and your wonderful husband, Earl, where do you start with that then?
Well, on the west side, as I said, this looked like a big warehouse with a few arborvitaes on one side of it, and that's all only thing that made it different from being a warehouse. And so we got the rototiller out, and Earl tilled up some land for me. And then we went and we shopped for, we got wonderful bargains. It was in the time of the year, it was in the fall. It was wonderful bargains on our bushes.
And you bring that experience to look for those. And we're talking in the fall of the year, and that's something that you can look for at this time of the year to take advantage of those so the cost isn't so great.
It is. You know, if I would be honestly truthful, probably 90% of everything I have in my garden and what I put in the garden over there and the business garden, 90% of it just happens to be there. And then I build the garden around what I've collected. I don't go out looking for this plant or that plant or this tree. I have not ever been able to afford that luxury, so I wait until I can buy it on sale, and then I make my garden with what I've got sitting in front of me, and it just always seems to work.
Well, I've always asked Char, our good friend Char, how does your garden grow? And so I would say, Jan, you are one that just says, how does my findings grow? Because you're not based on a diagram that says we're going to put two honeysuckles here and we're going to put one pine tree here. It evolves. And so take us back then to, you've got it tilled up. You've got kind of a vision. Where did you physically start? What did you focus on first?
Actually, it was tilling up our first shape. But when it came time, we had all our plants over there and everything, and I looked at Earl and I said, you know, this isn't big enough. This is just not big enough.
Said every gardener ever, always.
Yeah, so we got the tiller back over there, and we probably doubled the size of what we first tilled up. And I have been really blessed. I have been really blessed that when I am looking at my plants, I can see it in my mind. And in fact, the church council, when I started plowing things up, they said, well, I thought you were going to bring a diagram for us to okay. And I said, no, I said, you gave me permission to do it, so I'm doing it. So I can see it in my head, and I really
that
feel
blessed.
That
must be where I get that.
Yeah. So I am really blessed that I was able to see it in my head, and I just pulled it all together. There's a few, I can't even say there's a few rules I follow because I've been gardening for so long. I just automatically do it. I don't know what is a rule and what is Janet. I have no idea.
One of the things, though, that did become a rule was that super hot location, because it's alongside a highway, not very far from an off-ramp of a highway, and on the west. Yeah. So you had those two considerations to figure out what would succeed in your garden. And it grew to be much more than just the placement of things. It started to evolve in the structure. Like you said, your original shape was kind of a horseshoe?
No, it was the same thing. It's a curved garden on a straight wall. So it's a curved garden.
Okay.
We probably went out maybe we went out 10 feet when we started, and we probably ended up almost 15 feet deep rather than the original 10. And I'm so glad we did it, because I wouldn't have been satisfied with the small once we got it put in.
Well, we're talking about a wonderful projects that have evolved, and Jan Meyer is my guest, and you'll remember her from other programs that we've done with Jan's Gazebo Garden in Fairmont. But we're taking advantage of a leisurely Sunday afternoon. The sun is a nice autumn sun, and it's very comfortable, although we have a few bees that are trying to make a cameo appearances, and we're gonna suggest that they go over to some of the blooming plants and leave us alone. But we're talking about how to start a special garden, and Jan was talking about a prayer garden that she did in memory of her friend Rosa. So you've got it tilled up, you've got kind of a shape. What's next?
First, we put in our large bushes. I wanted something that as things matured, that you would not be visible from the highway. I wanted some privacy there. Mm-hmm. And so I put let me see, the name of the hydrangea.
Strawberry Sunday?
Nope, not Strawberry Sunday.
Nope.
I can't think of it. It's green.
Limelight?
Limelight. Thank you very much. I put in limelight. I put in five limelights around the outside of it. And those will get to be probably 8 feet tall when they're done. This year was fantastic. Hydrangeas have never been more beautiful than this year. Mm-hmm. But each year they put on a little growth. They will get up in the neighborhood of around 8 feet tall. So that's going to give us a little privacy. You can look out if you want to, but people don't necessarily have to see you sitting there in the garden.
Mm-hmm. And that's part of the, well, the reason for building it is to have kind of a meditation spot. And this is on the west side of your church in southern Minnesota. So once you have those anchoring pieces, then what?
Well, we also had to consider the wind coming from the west. Absolutely terrific. So I could not have any beautiful delphiniums or anything that was very tall, because the wind would simply flatten them. I had to deal with what I had. We'll say that first we had our dirt. We raked it all down, and then we came through and made our path. And now a curved path is always better than a straight path. And so we curved our path and put some personality in the path.
So what was the bedding for your path? Did you just make it plain garden bedding with mulch, or what did you do?
We used pea rock.
You used pea rock for more of a stability.
Yep, I like pea rock.
So and it's a little bit more formalized as well.
It is, yep, and I like the pea rock, I really do. So then we put in our path, and then we started planting. And like I said, and I also recommend that if you're going to put something like this in, put your plants in your pots in the position where you want them. Step back, take a look. If it's not quite pleasing to you, you're only moving a pot. You're not digging up a plant and moving it someplace else. So that's the one thing that I could tell people. If you're starting something like this, put your pots down first. Step back, take a look. If you don't like it, you can easily move it.
And the other thing about those plants is know what the mature size and spread are going to be.
That's
because otherwise you're going to be trying to play catch up. Instead of being able to enjoy the evolution of the garden, you're going to be playing catch up and thinning out instead of enjoying your garden.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you have your touchstones, your anchoring parts. You have a nice winding path that goes through. Then how do you start to fill in the shape?
You also
have to keep in mind the building's purpose. I mean, you don't want to obscure, you know, people obviously have noticed your garden. You've got a lot of wonderful comments, and probably by some of those members that just thought maybe you were going to put in a row of peonies.
That's never going to happen, is it?
No, probably not with our history.
No.
So, and I'm sure that they have given you a lot of really positive feedback. What have you been most surprised as the garden has, how many years has this been in effect
this is
now?
5 years, I believe.
5 years. Mm-hmm. And we will, like I said, we'll have pictures on our Facebook page to share those with you. Now you have an arbor. What other features you added to make it super special?
Okay, well, actually we put in one, two, three. We've got three arches, and we've got sweet autumn clematis that goes over all those arches. Mm-hmm. There's a bench over one of the arbors, or in front of the arbor, in the center of it. Then my dear son Corey found online a gazebo that was for sale for $300. And he called me and he says, Mom, he says, do you want to get another gazebo? Well, I already have a 18-foot gazebo, and I couldn't think of any place in the garden I could put it. And I said, gosh, I wish I had a place, but I have no place to put it. So I hung up, and I told Earl, well, how about if we put it over in the garden at church? Bingo! So the two of them got the trailer. They went down to Esterville, brought home this beautiful little gazebo. We poured cement for the foundation of it. That's the floor of the gazebo. Mm-hmm. And on a Sunday afternoon after church, a number of the men, we had stored it behind the church because we didn't have any place to put it. So after service, a number of the men and Earl picked it up and they moved it around and put it in place. And it is so wonderful. You can go sit in there. We put a couple rocking chairs in there. We have planters and people.
So if anybody's missing from the service, you know where to find them. Now, do you have the service piped out there to them?
No, we don't.
I think it sounds like a wonderful plan, but once again, you weren't really considering what it would evolve into, and I think that's the reason for some people's gardens. You have a certain idea of it when you start, and then as you go along, you are given inspiration, and wherever you think that inspiration comes from, either it's from your experience or other places, I think in looking at the pictures that you've shared over the years, seeing it grow, seeing it blossom literally and figuratively has been just a real joy, and giving that that resource to the church, providing it a lot more character and a lot more personality than just, as you said, a warehouse type building. Not everyone has the big formal wood doors. Churches come in all sizes, colors, and types now. And all do, as well as businesses too. And I think in our next program we'll talk a little bit more about that, because residential gardening is one thing, business gardening is another thing. When you have a very a focal point from the point of a downtown or a business community where you have certain aesthetics that are expected, and you don't want to get too involved there, but you can also make the beginning starts to a wonderful business garden as well. And I think we'll talk about that in our next program. We only have a couple minutes left, Jan. What do you hope is the future of this wonderful garden that you've started?
Well, I am going to start telling people in church, if you know the difference between a weed and a good plant, you are welcome to bend down and pull that sucker out.
So, volunteers needed. And as I said, the scope of your garden changed considerably over the history of it. But it has lovely little pockets and something new to find. Do you have anything in store for next year? Do you have any surprises or wish lists of things besides volunteer weeders? Is there anything that you'd like to add to the garden next?
Well, I tell you what I'm going to do. By one of the big tall arborvitas, I put in 7 hostas, and they are fine the beginning of the season, but like the last month up until now, they have gotten terribly burned. So either this fall or next spring, I will dig those hostas out of there, and I am going to put some phlox in there. I've got some beautiful phlox already growing there between those hydrangeas that I told you about before. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to put those hydrangeas around that, which will make a beautiful setting, something low in front of those probably. But I am not going to fuss with the hydrangeas anymore. I'm always pulling off leaves that are burnt, and they're almost down to nothing now. So I see a mistake, but I know how to correct it.
Exactly. Well, and year 6, I just thank you so much for, we're in year 6 of In the Garden with Kelly and Char, and I hope that more people will keep in mind those opportunities for you to start a new garden. And it doesn't have to be grand. It doesn't have to have arches and benches. It just has to add a little personality to the property. And if you can do that in memory of something, I think that's a wonderful tribute to your lovely friends, to have their sense of them with you whenever you're in that garden. And thank you so much for sharing your project. And thanks, big shout out to Earl and also to Corey, who have provided some of the resources to that and also some of the labor that has made that garden what it is. And thanks again, Jan, for being a willing participant in speaking with us here on In the Garden. And we hope that you will tune in every Wednesday. We will be here every Wednesday through the end of November, and making sure we conclude with our traditional gifts for the gardener show that will take place the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. And I hope you again turn into In the Garden. I'm your host, Kelly Casey. Bye now.
Pulling weeds and picking stones, we are made of dreams and bones. I feel the need to grow my own, 'cause the time is close at hand.